If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Celtics Old Podcast with me, Andrew Millen. Today we will have the second part of our conversation with Willie McStay. This episode has been sponsored by Carrantown Lodge, Duleek, County Meath. Thanks to Simon and the team for their continued support. If your business or Celtic Supporters Club would like to sponsor the podcast, please get in contact by emailing us at info@celticfanzine.com. You can also contact us through the website or message us on social media. Celtic returned to the top of the table on Saturday after beating Livingston 3-2 at Celtic Park. The following day, the Rangers from across the city went back on top after they drew 2-2 with Hibs. Celtic will entertain Hibs on Sunday at Celtic Park, but before then the team travelled to Latvia to take on Riga. I fully expect us to beat the home side and be in the next round of the Europa League before the important group stages. Celtic fans seem split about the importance of this competition and competing in the Europa League without the riches that the Champions League brings. Some fans don't seem to care if we reach the group stages or not, such as the importance of this historical season is domestically. But as I said, I fully expect us to win away, and I fully expect Neil Lennon to continue with the squad rotation. We've got two games a week now, and it's important that all the players get game time. Hibs will pose a bigger threat than Livingston did, but even Livingston asked a few questions of us late in the game after we dominated for long periods. They gave us a nervy end to the game, and hopefully we won't have that against Hibs and we can then kick on for the rest of the season. With COVID-19 cases now on the rise in Ireland and Scotland, I fear that getting back to Celtic Park soon is a long way off. We all had hoped to be back in for the Rangers game in October, but as I said, it seems very unlikely, but we still wait in hope. On Friday, we spoke to Willie about the youth players he coached during his time at the club and how the recruitment policy is working at the club at the moment, from 8-year-olds right up to the senior team. We also spoke about the late great Tommy Bones. We pick up the conversation today with Willie talking about McStay's historical connection with Celtic, his own career with Celtic and elsewhere.
I want to go back to the McStay name. It's forever linked with Celtic. Can you give the listeners an insight into your famous ancestors? And then we'll speak maybe a little bit your dad. You know, and when you were growing up, you know what the McStay name meant to your family?
Yeah, like, obviously for us, knowing them, the time span was too much. But everything that was going to us passed through my father and my dad's brother, Uncle Jim. I don't know if you know that during our time, CML was a place we would go to, prior to big European games, cup finals, and things like that. But way back in their days, Napier and people like that would be out in Netherburn, which is a place. You drive through Larkhall and head out there, with Jimmy Steele. If you remember Jimmy, the physio, he was from Larkhall, and obviously the influence of Jimmy and Willie McStay as well. Celtic used to go out there to get away from everything, away from the city, and you hear stories, and I know what Netherburn was like. My dad took us out, and you just can't imagine Celtic Football Club being out there to do training, and I think there was only one pitch, which wasn't great. So they were out there at times doing, like, you know, their training and getting away from the city to prepare for pre-season or prepare sometimes for games as well. But no, Bertie Auld is another person that passed on stories to us, you know, about how they would dress. And you know, when you look back in pictures of their days, everybody had collar tie, they were immaculate, you know, the way they would turn up for training, never mind football games, and you know, the discipline they had. And you know, there's little mementos that we've gathered ourselves as well. But the stories, like, you know, were passed through my dad. And I remember, like, you know, just you know, the funeral, that was like a big thing, like, you know, people talking about, you know, when the pat passed away. And like, obviously our name, yeah, in that area, you know, the two, Jimmy and Willie, coming from Netherburn, and that's where my dad was born, and we moved into Larkhall. And you know, people knew us. I think you know, being, I would say, you know, football daft, you know, like the family. My father was a good player in his own right. Trials with Kilmarnock, Partick Thistle, and Celtic Ward. My trial as well. He was at St Rocks, and at that time, you know, junior football was a massive thing, like Old Thistle, Les Mahago. But they came to a stage where he pulled away from that, and it was, I think, mainly to, like, you know, guide myself, you know, being the oldest one, and Paul and Raymond, no, into football. No, he was a good coach. Hamilton Ackies tried to get my dad to be a coach there, but he decided to stay in the boys' clubs. And I think that's where my dad was really respected in Larkhall, the amount of work he did, you know, in the community in terms of you know, starting teams and doing things the right way. And people knew him through that. And then as we progressed through signing with Celtic and Scotland International School Boys and all the way through, people, like, no, respected us through what my dad and my granddad did in Larkhall, how they represented themselves. So, like, no, that was the name. And yeah, you did feel that, you know, the McStay name was there. People knew you because you were, you know, the McStay, but it was for different reasons. The great uncles playing with Celtic, my dad being involved in football, and then through time, like, the three of us all made it to professional football as well. Interesting times, but definitely my dad was the link between keeping, you know, the name going between, like, Jimmy and Willie, and then, you know, the three of us coming through.
And your dad is credited as well with Kieran Taney cut his eye, and you've seen his notepad, his notes. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I've been through, like, no, I don't know, like, no, you're putting it out, but my dad passed away, and, like, no, he had his scouting things. I've actually got one in the room there that I found just only a couple of weeks ago, and, like, it kept a good tight record. Now, as I was going through it, I just seen the name Turnbull, and it's 11-year-old. He's 11-year-old in this report, and it's through another room. It just came in when you were talking. And basically saying, you know, the boys have got special talent, need to fast track them and all that. So, like, no, he's there now, but no. Yeah. And that's back to, like, identifying and recruiting. No, obviously, at that time, he's, you know, people have recognised his talent. Oh, I don't know what age David is now, he's 19. So, you know, that's a few years ago as well. So, but there'll be scouts, and people get stories like that. We know that they've identified a player. The most important thing is getting them in for different reasons. Sometimes it doesn't happen. So, but that's like his work, and the little book you're talking about. I done a presentation and about, you know, scouting, and it was the notebook versus the laptop. You know, to talk about, that was a trigger for older scouts, who's the wee guy with the hat on and the coat and the wee notebook and whatever, and then you've got the new scouts, so, you know, be like looking at, like, percentages and on systems and all that, and, like, no, and I say, like, no, what's valuable? I need both in the system. I don't want to lose the experience of these guys because they've seen it before and they can visualize a certain player that they're watching now and compare them to another player And that's why, like, no, they've done the cycle before, but the younger ones, it's a different way. You're getting information a different way. So in the talk, I said, like, no, how much is it there for that laptop? And somebody said £600 or whatever. And what about that notebook? Aye, £1. And I pulled it out of my pocket and I said, oh, see that one? It's worth 25 million. Because that's where the notes were the first time that he'd seen Kieran.
And Kieran Taney was only 8 at the time.
Yeah. So that was that one. So you've got me going, all these stories.
Yeah, but Willie, like it's so good to hear your dad was, you know, scouting for Celtic and the players that he was taking notes and he was recommending to the club. But before I skip on to something, I just want to, you know, mention that, you know, your own son John is still at the club now. He's coaching.
Yeah, he's doing very well and loves the job he's got now. And obviously a big desire to be involved in coaching. So he's been doing the partnership clubs in Ireland and now he's Europe as well, and that's his main job. And he does I think he's working with Miadrag this season. I think it's under 13s or 14s, so they're just starting off just now. So that'll be good for him, good recognition as well, because he was a key figure in the junior academy working there. So now he's moved into the intermediate one as well. So no, good luck to him. He works hard and hopefully gets his wee rewards.
Hopefully. A lovely lad as well. I've met John on a couple of occasions. Now, back to your dad. He's obviously proud that he caught these young players caught his eye, but he must have been so proud when his three boys signed for Celtic. Raymond, Willie McStay, all names associated with Celtic.
Yeah, he's a proud man. And we've, like, no, him to thank for the way he looked after us and the way that he encouraged us all the time, and like call to start, the teams and sacrifice himself at times as well, what he wanted to do and his ambitions, but it was for us. And as I say, the pictures are there as well, and like, I'm sure he's proud, and we were proud of what he did as well. So, yeah.
I suppose, as far as success was goes and team appearances, you're going in the middle because Raymond didn't play as much as you two. And then Paul, well, we all know how loyal Paul was to Celtic, named in the greatest ever 11. What a brother to have, what a talent. Like, he's such an iconic figure now among the support because of not only how good he was, because there was good players in that team, but I think, Paul was the standout one. And I think as well, the fact that he never left us.
Yeah, obviously mentioned Raymond first. Raymond got on the bench once, and that was the time of the takeover. It was pre-Bosman as well, so it was one of the ones where if you're offered a new contract, that was you automatically re-signed. So, yeah, so he got there, close, went down to Wigan, down to Cardiff, back up to Hamilton, and then moved into different other things and doing well now. But Paul, just say, one club man, it doesn't happen too often. No, James is in that category at the moment. Plenty of opportunities and plenty of suitors looking for him to go down south, to go to Europe. But it was Celtic. That was his team.
But he was always linked when Italian football was the creme de la creme of world football. Paul was always linked with these big moves. And, no one would have blamed him if he went. But he stayed, and there were some barren times, and tough times, as you say.
He was always a constant, wasn't he? And, I remember, even training, some of the things he did were, wow. It was as if he dies in the back of his head. He knew where everybody was, and he could turn and, just open up the game, and his weight of pass. He didn't pass it to you, he passed it for you. If you know what I mean, he was giving it the right weight, the right side, and then he was goal scoring as well. He scored a few screamers, but there was different times. There was all the great highs and a few disappointments as well, and had to be big enough to get through that. And yeah, there was a lot of talented boys there, but it didn't, you know, players at the time, but they always needed something, you know, whether it be a centre-back at the right time or another striker or whatever. Like, then Rangers were coming there spending, like, you know, obviously the game finished years, bringing up the boys, the players from England as well. So it was a tough ask. But he doesn't regret it, that's for sure. Like, no, he's proud of what he's done. Top player. The special thing was people always, I laugh at times, when people say that, no, your brother and Celtic supporters idolise him, and you know, people ask you the question, and sometimes inside you go, like, no, you're idolising a player that you don't know. He's my brother. So one of the best players, and like, no, for me, he was top. Like, no, it's not as if you just know the player. He's your brother. That was special. And there wasn't any comparison between myself and Paul either, Andrew, because two different positions, two different type of players and whatever. But there was a resemblance with Raymond coming through, same position and whatever. And if it was ever difficult for anybody, it would have been Raymond, you know, because Paul was there before him, same position in comparisons. And any footballer, whether you want to be judged or compared to a person the same age in the same position, but how can you be compared to somebody that's a different position, but also is, you know, that type of thing? And that's where, like, you know, we're just so proud of each other, but maybe, you know, people would look at Raymond a wee bit as well, which was unfair because he was a talented boy as well, and you need opportunity. No, I wish you would have got that anyway.
Everybody needs luck as well. But it's funny, but like, but just before we move on from Paul, when I'm doing the question and answers, we've had to, like, you know, you open up to the floor and people will say, you know, well, who was the best player you played with, or the most talented player. And when I'm doing an interview with someone from Paul's generation, I have to say, you know, like, because every single one of them say Paul McStay, but then we have to say, but let's take Paul out of the equation, because there was plenty of other players. Because, you know, we have a talk with Paul, because every single player that played with him, you know, he's at the top of the list. If you move forward to, you know, doing nights with Chris Sutton or John Hart or something, it's the same with Henrik. Henrik just gets thrown out. So you kind of have to take him out of your equation for the Q&A to get information on other players. But anyway, Willie, right? So we spoke about the brothers. Let's speak about Willie now. Signed in 1977, you had to wait till 83 to make your debut. I suppose that unknown fullback Danny McGrain was probably keeping you out of the team.
It's not too bad. That was an S form, like 1977, and then came in at the end of 78 into the ground staff. A great ground staff: Mark Reid, Charlie Nicholas, Danny Craney, Jerry Crawley was there, lad Hugh Ferry, myself, and that was it. So, and you'd be scrubbing the boots and doing the jobs and out training with the group, and the time you just get thrown in with the first team, knowing it was sink or swim. But what an education it was that particular time. A dream come true to go into Celtic Park and to be part of it. But every day you were meeting, you know, especially the early days, you know, Roy Aitken, Danny, like, people coming into the boot room, having a bit of a chat with you. And, like, you're starstruck at the start, and then you become one of the group. And it was a long haul. Like, we were there. It was the first year of the under-18 pro youth, and so 2 years in that, and then into the reserve team, 2 years, then four and a half years, like, in about the first team. And great times, great people, great club, and, like, you know, afternoons of John Clark would maybe take you, you know, what the stadium was like then. There was a grass area down at Celtic End. He'd take you out for wee extra bits of training and things like that. No, it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And then when you get pulled into one of the squads, the kind of stepping stone was, you know, charity games, but, you know, the pre-season, you'd go into them, or testimonial games, you know, you'd maybe get dropped into the squad, and before you know it, you were in the the first team squad. And I remember my debut. It was breaking, and I wasn't in the squad. I'm in the house at that call, and the phone went, but my dad answered it, and it was the phone call, DBA. Like, I'd made my debut off the bench under Billy McNeil, which was incredible, at the end of the season against Motherwell. But this was pre-season, the following season, David took over. And it was a case of, David's, my dad passes a phone to me, get yourself in, you're playing today. That was it. And it was an illness to Tom McAdam. He took ill that morning, so I went in, rushing in, not prepared, straight in through the door into the team, you're playing, and that was it. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened. It was breaking at home, 0-0 draw, get man in the match. And I think that because of maybe young and the team didn't perform to the level. Midweek, we played Airdrie, we scored 6. I actually broke from defence, got brought down for a penalty. That was me playing centre-back. And the following Saturday was Rangers. First league game of the season, Celtic Park, 60,000. So that was it. And we won the game 2-1. Roy Aitken and Frank McGarvey, after going 1 down as well, McCoy scored early in the game. And that was it. You're on your way. In between, as you mentioned there, Danny McGrain at right back and Roy Aitken at centre back. That was the two, kind of Roy being sweeper type thing and Tom being, and Roddy McDonald before that, they not being the main number five. So they were the two guys to try and oust. They weren't the bad players, they two.
No, they were all right. I've read a few bits and pieces about them, a few snippets. Really, you said that. You said that in the Rangers game.
Talk about pretty. That was probably one of the most proudest moments, for Paul and myself to play. That was the first game, we played together, for the parents and ourselves. And there's a picture of the two of us in front of the jungle. The jungle's jam-packed in the background. And that was great memories. And what we done after that, 2 years scoring against Rangers in the one game and being the first two brothers to win the 100th Cup final, 1985. So they were all milestones, for me and obviously the family, for us to be doing it ourselves. Then I go on and have my career here, there and everywhere. And Paul was just the constant. He was just outstanding and fantastic. And he deserves that accolade of being in the greatest ever Celtic team. That's for sure.
And the highs and lows, really, against Rangers, because I spoke to Alan Thompson about getting sent off as well, and he said, it's a lonely place in the dressing room. Talk us through that sending off.
Oh, God. As I say, the record actually was good against Rangers, but that one was the run-in to the league that we won at Love Street, and we'd been on a good run. And, obviously, if we get through the Rangers game, it's going to be a big one. For us as well. So we actually didn't start the game well as a team, and my memories are that we scored against a running play, and it was a game that from the off became a ding dong. It was one team attack, another one attack, that type of thing. A couple of scares with Packy. I think there was one where it slips through and it's a real mucky day and there's a wee bit of scramble. And remember the free kick, playing the ball diagonal, and there's a knockdown and it comes back in, and Morris Johnson scores. So we're two up. my roommate. we're two up, and Ibrox, and you're like, we've still got to play. And early part of the game, there's Ted McMingus at me, and it's not even a foul. He comes against my leg and I get looking for it, and so in a day like that, that's not what you wanted early in the game, for something that's not a real challenge. And it got Towsy, and did McMahon get booked for a challenge on me and the twos were tussling in the ground type thing. And then there's the game's just so open, and I tackled in front of the dugouts, and thank God I took the ball, because it was one of the ones you go through everything. And the vivid moment is Rangers in attack, the ball comes in from their right-hand side across the face of the goal. And that's another thing I was talking about yesterday. The Celtic fans, like, over the years, have been in the Celtic end at Ibrox. But in their days, Celtic support were all the way up to the halfway line, to the tunnel, and also had about three sections of the main stand. And across from the dugouts, there's a section in the other stand as well. It's amazing the amount of support that you had. So anyway, this ball flashes across, and it's one of the ones, who's closing them down? So I go out, and as I'm going out, the ball's slowing down to the touchline, and it's a case of go and slow him down, but there's a moment where you go, I can get this. So there I go, and I slide in, and the ball moves past my leading foot. And at that moment, it was like a car crash. You just know what's going to happen. I'm off. As if time just stood still, and I just followed through. And when I got up, I knew that was it. Like, no, I didn't even go near the referee. Looked at him and just walked up. And from that, like, people say to me, like, the 4-H game was the best Old Firm game I've ever seen. And I said, well, you're lucky, I've only seen 35 minutes here. That was it. I'm down there and missed a great game. At the time, like, you thought, you get that tackle right, that's you dominated, the game going forward. You're two up. You're the player that you're playing against, you're starting to, dominate him. You're right in front of the Celtic fans as well. But it just shows you the fine lines. And that was it. I knew it was off and went in. So the great thing was we went in an unbeaten run. In fact, a lot of straight wins. And we won the league at Love Street. And it makes it all the more sweeter.
A few beers that night, I'd say, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, I got married about 8 days after we won the league. In fact, I think our wedding was the first time we all got together after, and the footage of the videos is unbelievable. Unbelievable. No, the players, and that was him letting their hair down. So, great memories. A great year. Apart from the red card, but the end product was memorable. People not giving us a chance, and we get down there and do the business. And I remember Jim Stewart holding the ball and the place erupting. That was the moment you knew you were champions. It was a special day.
Really, just going back to the Rangers game, two things that I'm always curious of, right? Did you get a bollocking at half-time off Davy Hay?
Well, I'm sitting in there waiting. And if you remember, Rangers score before half-time. So it's 2-1, it's not 2-0. I've still got the gear on, drenched. Bit of respect. Definitely going to sit there and take what happens. So I'm sitting there and David came in. And all he'd done was talk about what we're going to do. He never reflected on the first half at all. He says, this is what we're going to do. And never mentioned it. It wasn't important then. No, it was what we were going to do as a team. And that when they went out for the second half, I'm sitting there it works out. The management, how the psychology can work as well. And he said to me later, he says to me, well, it wasn't your fault you get sent off. It was mine. And I've not even said anything back. He says, I could see it in your eyes. No, he knew I was on the edge, that type of thing. And that was after it. But it's unbelievable that the way he was in control of everything. There wasn't any he knew what he had to do. He had to get the team right for the second half. And it was a roller coaster because it went 3-2, 3-3, 4-3 Rangers. And then Murdo scored an absolute screamer to get the 4-4. And to be fair, I think I remember looking back on it, and both sets of supporters gave a standing ovation to the players on the pitch. It was a memorable game for many things. So for me, it was 35 minutes.
Now, the other question I have, right, is when you're in the dressing room before your first Rangers game, the adrenaline, the mix, you've grown up a Celtic fan. It's the biggest game, the calendar, domestically. It's a local derby. It's everything. That first time you hadn't that much first team experience.
Yeah.
In the dressing room, tell us what goes through.
See, to be honest, the breaking game that I said was just whirlwind. Get yourself in, you're playing a League Cup game. Midweek was our second League Cup game against Airdrie. So I'm still the emotions and excitement of making my debut. Then you followed that up midweek, and here we are playing against Rangers the following Saturday. So for me, it was excitement. It was new. Games had went well before it, and you were up for it. And then the special thing, obviously, Paul, ourselves, that wee bit of attention from the media before it as well. So there was a lot of excitement. I didn't feel nervous in the first one. Basically, Brian Scott, take the noise when we went out for the warm-up was incredible. Celtic Park, we're breaking at home, Airdrie, Broomfield. The atmosphere was good. It was supportive, if you know what I mean. But when you come out, the crowd are in, and the noise was unbelievable. And I spoke to Brian Scott, and it was one of the old jokes. He said, "What?" I said it again. And he's like, "What?" No. And I said it again. And it was, you can't, I'm actually saying to him, this noise, you can't hear yourself. I'm so excited that that old joke that he's done me three times, and that's the way it was. It was more excitement. Now, as you settle in to being a first team player, you start to then really know the importance of games, and that's where your mindset can go different ways. And I mentioned earlier, there's been great players came to Celtic Park and Ibrox, terrific talents and renowned as being good players, but not been able to handle the whole thing, the package of 24/7 and the must win and crowd reactions and all that. So the more you're settled into the team, you do think more about the importance of the game and the opposition, and you think more about the game. Whereas early games, you're just so excited to show what you can do, if you know what I mean. Then even with the supporters as well, the supporters are fantastic. Even from my own point of view, supporting you and encouraging you because they know that you're new to it. And what you find is once you're into your second year, they'll support you, but it'll be more analyse your game more as well. And that's when you have to step up to the plate. And sometimes you reach a level, and that's it. For me, it was just incredible to be there. When you leave Celtic, it's so strange, because you know what it's like. People want to talk to you, people who might even be not even Celtic supporters, know who you are. And you always get that wee feeling somebody's looking at you. I went down to Huddersfield after Celtic, and nobody really bothers. They just let you get on with things. And then I moved to Nottingham. Nottingham was good as well. So, but there's more freedom down south. It might be different now with social media and all the different things there. But in the days, you played the game, and that was it. back to your family and back in training the next day or whatever it is, down in England, but at Celtic, it was 24/7. You had to carry yourself the right way all the time. Do what you can on the pitch to be the best you can, but off the pitch you had to represent yourself and the club as well.
Yeah, many, many years ago, I interviewed the late Phil O'Donnell, and he spoke about leaving the club to go to Sheffield Wednesday, I think it was, with Simon Donnelly. And he says, like, it was amazing stepping out of the Goldfish Bowl of Glasgow and being able to go to the cinema and nobody.
It definitely is like that. No, like, people might recognise you, but they'll just maybe nod or whatever. Whereas at Celtic, no, people want to know the club, they want to know you, they want, and you get it. You get it both ways, but you've got to be able to handle that, and that's something hopefully we've been able to do.
Is it hard to leave Celtic, Willie?
Oh, big time. It's like for us as well, and for myself to leave, and Paul's there as captain, and I'm moving into the captaincy at that time. It was massive, but you have to do what you have to do. You've got your wife and family. In fact, my wife, when I left, was expecting our first kid, John, and that was hard. And I must admit, when I went down to Huddersfield, I broke my ankle the day. I went down on the Monday, and on the Friday, broke my ankle, and that was us doing shaping before we played Derby, Derby County at the baseball ground. So that was me out. So I went there in February, and that was me out, and I get back for the last game of the season away to Barnsley, and I was on the bench. Owen Archdeacon was actually another team. So that was a hard time. A hard to leave Celtic, but hard in the situation where you couldn't go and play and be one of them. You're always on the periphery. The next season started. Get back into the team, and I actually thought St Mirren were going to sign us. I was told they were watching the game and had been impressed, wanting to take us back up the road. And Malcolm McDonald was the manager of Huddersfield at the time, and pulled us into the office after we played Sheffield Wednesday. And he said, look, we've got an offer in for you. And I'm kidding on, I don't know. No, somebody was looking for us. I'm waiting to say, right, okay, this is a moment. I didn't want to sign for a Scottish club. I could have when I was leaving Celtic, but I couldn't see me playing against Celtic and the environment and what you had. So anyway, this was maybe time to go back up the road. And obviously, John had been born at that time, a young baby. So when he told us, right, we've got an offer, we've accepted the offer, I'm waiting to act surprised at St Mirren. And he said, Notts County. And I went, what? I was inside myself, Notts County. I wasn't expecting that one. So the first thing I done was get out of the office, and I made a phone call up the road first to my dad. And the second phone call was to Jimmy Lumsden, who was my youth coach. He was down in England at the time working. And I told him the story, good club's watching me. There's an offer being accepted by the club for Notts County. He says, well, get home then now, pack your bag and get yourself down the motorway. What a club, traditional club, John Barnwell, manager, football man. They've got good players, and it was the best thing I'd done. I enjoyed my football there. That's where I met Tommy Johnson, Dean Yates, went for 4 million, Mark Draper, 4 million, Gary Burtles, Gary Mills, Paul Hart, a very, very good football side, and played like Freedom, not like Celtic, whereas Huddersfield it was more defensive and in a struggling situation, whereas Notts County were great. And also, it was a great side. So we enjoyed ourselves down there, and then came back up to Kilmarnock after that.
Tommy did remind me when I told him I was going to be chatting to you. He says, "No, do you remember?" He says, "I was only a kid and Willie was coming to the end of his career."
He said, "You said I was only coming on for a wee while to talk about a few things."
Well, look, the conversation went on, but look, When you get someone like you, Willie, with such experience and knowledge of the club, we can't just keep God as memory get it again. Willie, then you moved on to Sligo and great success, 3 trophies, and then with that success brings you back to Celtic. Then, as we spoke earlier on with Tommy Bones, but one of your former players that was with you in the youth setup, I spoke to him earlier in the week, Barry John Carr, and he described you as the best coach he ever had, but he said he never realised it until he moved elsewhere.
It's nice that people say things like that about you, but I did. I thought coaching was something that I tried to be the best I could, and as I mentioned earlier, go and open up my mind and see different styles and whatever, and visit clubs and try and be the first. The pro license there was one of the youngest ones that got that as well at that particular time, and enjoyed it. And had opportunities to leave as manager, but I came and signed a 3-year contract. I think that was a long time, but the 3-year flew in and it ended up 16 and a half year that was with the club. As head youth coach and reserve manager. So to leave as a player was difficult, but also to leave after that period of time. And I really, really enjoyed it. And after that, I've had the experiences of working with Didi Haman at Stockport County, like obviously going to Utrecht. My rivals are Ferencváros, to be honest. Popular to mention that then at the moment. So that's a great experience out there. Manager at Ross County for a short period, which was a difficult situation. But then I get the opportunity to go to Bristol City as head of coaching with Derek McInnes. And obviously Derek and that changed and I came back up. And just to stay in the game, I took over a club in Carlisle called Celtic Nation, which was great for me to keep everything going. Waiting for the next opportunity. Then I got the opportunity from Chris McCart and obviously Peter to come back to Celtic scouting. First it was European scouting and then it was head of the academy scouting. And it's been brilliant. I've really enjoyed it. And I missed coaching at the start, but like everything I do, I want to do to be the best I can and do my best for the club and see where it takes us.
We all know that your heart is in Celtic and there's a lot of pressure on the current team to deliver that 10 in a row, but hopefully we can do it, Willie.
Yeah, I was talking to Paul about it, and like obviously at the time when Rangers were kind of dominating the league anyway, and looking back and it's one of the ones we just have to keep focus and keep believing and be together. I think it's like the 1988 year, the centenary year, where they need to, if there's a time where the players will need the fans, it's now. And sadly, at the moment, no, they're not allowed in. But hopefully that'll change and winning the games now and wait for the crowd in. I'm sure that will. They'll roll them on. It makes some difference to the atmosphere, not just the singing and whatever, but they can G up as well. The road that gives up, whether it be a tackle or winning a corner or a shot at goal, simple things can change the game, and that can be done with the crowd reaction. So hopefully we can keep winning and get the fans in and so they can enjoy it. It was difficult for them there to enjoy 9 in a row. I think it'd be unbelievable if we get this, not just for history, but the big release. And but I don't have to tell you, what it's going to be like. It's going to be mayhem.
I'm like you, Willie. I just can't wait to go back into the stadium. I suppose traveling home and away week in, week out to see Celtic, you kind of take it for granted. It's part of your week, but
yeah.
I'll never take it for granted again. I'll never give it a bit of queue in the airport or being late 5 minutes in because the turnstiles weren't working or whatever. But look, Willie, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you and I really thank you for taking the time to chat to us and letting us into your Celtic soul. As I said, the McStay name lives on at Celtic. It's just such an iconic name with the club and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again, and hopefully the next time I'll be in person.
That'd be great. Be good, Bob. I've enjoyed that you've reflected and triggered me into memories, and like, no, I've actually enjoyed it, and hopefully it came across the right way. I love what I'm doing, and it's been great, like, no, my own career, Celtic, and all different things that I've done. But in terms of Paul and Raymond, we're so close, and can reflecting back my dad and Jimmy and Willie, way back in the day, as they say, and just hopefully Celtic can go and win this 10 in a row, and I know the whole McStay family will be happy.
Willie, as I said, it's been a pleasure, and don't worry, the listeners will love this conversation. Hail, hail, Willie. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, and take care. Be safe.
It's always a pleasure to chat to Willie, and I look forward to one day when we can get back into the same room for conversation, maybe at one of our live events. His love for Celtic and football just seems to shine through with every word he speaks. A pure gentleman and all-round good guy. Thanks again to everyone who bought the digital and print edition of the new issue 110. Much appreciated, because we don't have ground sales at the moment. So if you'd like to order a copy, please do so through the website. Thanks as always to Ronan McQuillan for producing the show. If you like what we're doing and would like to support us, please get in contact with info@celticfanzine.com or through social media. You can subscribe, become a member, buy or donate for the price of the pint. Thanks to everyone who has listened and supported us so far. It's much appreciated. Don't forget, folks, you can download the new app. It's free, and you can have access to all our podcasts, articles, daily news, video content and info on upcoming events, if we ever get info on upcoming events, the fanzine and our online shop, all at the touch of a button on your phone or tablet. All episodes of the podcast are now available on all platforms, so hit that subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. We would also appreciate if you could hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel, Celtic Fanzine TV. Thanks again to our episode sponsor, the Carrington Lodge Duleek. If your business or Celtic supporters club like the podcast and would like to become a sponsor, please email us at info@celticfanzine.com. You can also contact us through the website or message us on social media. Keep the comments in and let us know what guests you would like us to have on the show. And as I said before, if you have a story to tell, let us know. Thanks very much to the Willie Maley Group, who got in contact last week to let us know about the walk. I believe it was a big success. I've seen plenty of pictures and plenty of comments, and I believe there was a lot of money raised. So well done to them. If your supporters group are having an event, let us know and we'll give it a shout out. The next episode will be this Friday. It will be episode 30, and we'll have another guest opening up their Celtic soul to us. So enjoy the week, and let's hope the boys can do the business in Lafayette and return safe and well. But I can't help thinking of how good a trip at this moment in time would be to Lafayette. A few beers with the boys, bit of crack, and an away win. But we're living in strange times, and these things just can't happen at the moment. So folks, stay tuned, keep the faith, and please stay safe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.